Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, he's back, Chief Joel Schultz. He needs no introduction. He's one of the most, one of the most famous cops, especially police chiefs in the country. So thank you so much for being on the show, Chief Schultz. Appreciate it. Did I surprise you with that introduction? It looks like I kind of took you back with that. Did I?
I appreciate that. It's just like getting people references. I say, if you lie for me, I'll lie for you.
We know better. You're not sucking me into that hole. And we also have Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, who I actually saw on a news thing last night. Jeff Wininger, he is the former LAPD commander. He was actually in charge of Rampart, and also retired just over a year ago. He also wrote the new book called On Thin Ice. And if you're watching the video portion of the show, it's sitting over his shoulder there. He's also has law enforcement consultants at lawenforcementconsultants.com. Jeff's got a lot of stuff going on, but that TV appearance, I got a clip of that yesterday, Jeff. I watched your appearance representing and talking about Comply Technologies and their product called the glove. It was pretty good stuff. It was pretty good stuff. And it looked like the whole crew, you had them all mesmerized. So,
well, really it was all Jeff Nicholas. He's the founder and CEO of Compliant Technologies, and he's from Lexington, Kentucky. And we were on ABC 36, which is in Lexington. And actually, if the viewers want to see it, they can go to the WTVQ.com website and go to the noon show. And it's probably still posted.
Love it. I love it. Yeah, that was pretty impressive. It's all good. It's all good stuff. A shout out to our sponsors. Our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now on social media during the live show. And finally, TwoBells.com. They built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Go to our website, check out the online store. You can buy cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing, and the prices are rock bottom. I spend what you guys spend. We don't make a dime off of anything in the store. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So please check that out. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Sheets with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. Now, what in the world are we talking about today? You know, we do talk about the news from a law enforcement perspective. We make no apologies for that, but we want to make you guys among the smartest people in the room when it comes to the news and also hearing it from that Leo law enforcement officer perspective. So important. And let's go ahead and whet the appetite here. We're going to be talking about three main stories. Main stories, we usually start off with those if there's something good in the news. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. We got three of them that we're going to be covering. The first one, it's pretty exciting news. CBP, so that's Customs and Border Protection, whistleblowers finally cleared. So these Border Patrol whistleblowers, they're cleared. Trump reverses the Biden administration's retaliation against them. When you guys hear what in the world has been going on, the retaliatory stuff going against these whistleblowers, it'll make your stomachs just it'll make you sick. We have another one, Kash Patel vindicated. MSNBC, they got some stuff on their nose on this one. MSNBC forced to retract false claim about FBI director. Wow. And then, of course, we've got a man messes around with Ivanka Trump's security detail, finds out with quickness what a mistake that was. It's a pretty good strike. We've also got Broken Arrow officers are justified in the fatal shooting of a guy named Samuel Flanagan, who was armed with a machete. And we've also got another one here. NYPD officers shoot a guy in Brooklyn after four children were attacked with a meat cleaver. I'll tell you, these first two stories with a video component, they are, I don't know if we're going to get past them. It's really detailed. And if we have time to get to it, we got an Ohio man accused of murdering a deputy the day after someone was fatally shot by police. And he tried to, mowed this cop down. We got another body cam footage released after Madison County deputy shoots an armed man. We got Rain police officer killed by friendly fire during execution of a search warrant. And then California driver throws a live grenade out of the window during a car chase in California. I mean, of all places. Yeah. So anyhow, that's kind of what we got going on. So we've got a little over 6 minutes before we take our first commercial break. So guys, let's just go ahead and dive into the first of these three main stories that we have. The Department of Homeland Security, and actually this is on All three of these main stories are at rvmnews.com. It's a really a great source for news and commentary, and it stands for Red Voice Media News. So rvmnews.com, CBP whistleblowers finally cleared Trump reverses Biden administration's retaliation. So the Department of Homeland Security, they announced on Monday that they have reinstated and promoted three whistleblowers from Customs and Border Protection because these guys ended up being demoted and they had their pay cut under the Biden administration after they raised concerns about their agency's failure to comply with the federal DNA collection laws. Now, think about that for a second. Why would it be important? Guys coming over, across the border to collect their DNA, right? We got the names of these three guys, Fred Wynn, Mike Taylor, and Mark Jones. Good for those guys. All officials in CBP's Weapons of Mass Destruction Division, they were previously sidelined after they disclosed that their agency had not been collecting the required DNA samples from illegal immigrants that were apprehended at the southern border. And they had alleged back in June of 2024, so really not that long ago, in a court filing that the agency leadership retaliated against them for reporting the violations of the DNA Fingerprint Act of 2005. So it's a act that you have to comply with, supposedly. Now, these three guys, they've now been promoted to new supervisory roles, and DHS has confirmed their prior pay cuts and demotions have been reversed. In addition, Customs and Border Protection, they've reauthorized law enforcement credentials for these guys. These guys were in a world of hurt. They really had some stuff. They didn't have their badges taken away from them. They've been given back. Firearms were taken away from them, from Taylor and Jones. They've got those back. Now, the announcement follows a years-long campaign by Senator Chuck Grassley, and he's been advocating for these guys and for the reinstatement. And he said, today's a victory for Fred Wynn, Mike Taylor, Mark Jones, and the rule of law. At long last, these patriotic men will be made whole again. I'm very grateful to the leadership at the Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection who worked with me to bring these whistleblowers back to their rightful roles. Even Secretary Kristi Noem of Homeland Security acknowledged the restoration of these guys' rights. And then Rodney Scott, he's President Trump's nominee to lead Customs and Border Patrol. He affirmed due to a recent confirmation hearing that he was aware of the whistleblowers and their reputations. And listen to what he said. He said, I do know those three. I know one allegation that's never been levied against them is the challenge of their integrity. I will look into this and I will hold people accountable if they violated policy. So he's talking about the people that screwed these guys because they became whistleblowers. I can't wait to see what happens with this investigation. The Office of Special Counsel concluded in 2021, so that's been a little while ago, that DHS retaliated against these three guys for their disclosures. And despite their finding, the Biden admin continued to restrict their roles, denied them meaningful assignments, and in the case of Taylor, stripped him of his law enforcement retirement benefits. Now, it kind of goes on. It explains the DNA Fingerprint Act, and it talks about the importance of that, and that even though they've got, like, here's an example, in quarter one of 2023, there were 865,000 plus encounters, but only 347,000 plus DNA samples submitted. So that's kind of an example on how slim the collections were. And of course, Taylor testified that the team's efforts were obstructed by DHS officials who slow rolled the implementation, of the law. So any surprises, guys? I'm curious about your commentary on this. We got a little under 3 minutes before our first commercial break, but I hate to hear things like this, but I love to hear success stories where these guys are put in supervisory roles at the same agency that that tried to put them down. So if no commentary, we can move on to the next one, guys. But Chief Schultz.
I'm thinking, there's 80, I think there's 83 badge carrying gun toting federal agencies in law enforcement. I can't imagine trying to function in those, top five or six highly visible ones that we all know the alphabets for under the Biden administration. I mean, you don't have to be, completely partisan to realize what a wreck that those 4 years imprinted on the integrity of federal agencies. And it's going to take a while to get all that back. And this is a good step forward.
Beautiful. Love it. Lieutenant Jeff.
Yeah. When I was early in my career with the LAPD, we had the opportunity to pay for an enhanced legal coverage through the police union. And I thought, I'm not going to pay that extra money. I'm never going to do anything that's going to, result in me getting into any type of trouble. I know what my character is and what, and it wasn't long before I started to see that that has nothing to do with it. when you're talking about large organizations that are impacted by the political climate, you know, they oftentimes will make decisions relative to personnel when in regards to what is politically expedient. And then that results in people being sacrificed. So, you know, it wasn't long before, you know, I realized that that's probably some of the best spent money you'll ever pay out of your pocket to make sure that you have that extra legal coverage to take care of yourself in the event that you get caught up in something like this. For in this case, it appears to be for doing the right thing. So, you know, that's just a reality of the political climate.
You know, we've got Bill Van Rom weighing in on YouTube saying the DNA collections were important to identify children to make sure that they were not being trafficked. And that's one good example, Bill Van Rom. So thanks for paying attention. We appreciate it. You know, Jeff, with what you were saying, yeah, it's true. You shouldn't have to worry about stuff like that. I'd love to tell you that, you know, I went through a career without having to go through internal affairs or even being criminally investigated by my own agency or having to become a whistleblower and having a search warrant written for my, you know, execution at my house and things like that. But that's all stuff that happens, even if you do nothing wrong. So guys, it's time for our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, we've been talking about law enforcement, obviously, but the you know, the place where we're at today in law enforcement as well. Guys, any further talk about the last topic? You guys ready to move on to the next main topic? You ready?
All right. You know, I'll say this as administrator, I made this statement publicly in publication. As a chief, if you're not willing to get fired for taking an ethical stand, either on your own behalf or that of your officers, then you're in the wrong business.
I love what you just said. That is great. You know, the troops always look about you back, you know, having their backs. That makes such a difference. You know, if they're just going to throw you to the wolves, you know, and look, not many people understand as well as I do the political climate and how that can affect whether you're in the good graces of your agency or not. I mean, you are susceptible to whatever way those winds are blowing, but there are chiefs and sheriffs with backbones that really limit that. They'll have your back. Sometimes these guys will even put their job on the line for you. And that is refreshing. And I have to say that in my career, I had people that did that for me, even when I was going through a world of hurt. I mean, I'm talking to majors and people I'm friends with, and the chief is walking down the coming within a line of sight. I've had people just turn around and walk away from me in mid sentence. I mean, I'm like, what's wrong? And then I look and I see someone they didn't want to be seen with me, you know? So, and then of course, when it comes to people battling for you and your job, and if you did something right, did nothing wrong, but you've got political people that are upset with what you're doing. Yeah. It gets awful, it gets ugly. It gets really messy. It's not a right or wrong thing, Jeff. As you know, it's just you know, it's just sad that we have to weather that storm.
Well, the one thing that needs to change, and I think the pendulum needs to swing back the other direction, is the selection of the chief of police in many municipalities. It's a political process now, where like with the LAPD, the last chief that had protections was Daryl Gates, but after Daryl Gates, they did a city charter mandate change where the chief is selected. The interviews are conducted by the five members of the Honorable Board of Police Commissioners. Then they submit their top three in order to the mayor, and the mayor can pick any one of those three. If the mayor doesn't want any of those three, then they can request additional, But then that person that they would pick that's not in that three have to then therefore be approved by the city council. But it's this huge political process now. So, you know, when you're chosen by the mayor, I mean, it's you're bought and paid for, especially where now you have term limits where you can do 2 5-year terms, but you have to be approved for the second term. So that first 5 years, you don't want to do anything that's going to put you in conflict with the people that chose you to make sure that you get your additional 5 years. Why? Because they've tied that all towards the chief's retirement. You want to get into that second 5 years to maximize your retirement. So the whole process is so political. And that's what's unfortunate. A chief should be able to make a decision and not have any worry of being fired, actually. And that's just the way it should be.
Well, I don't necessarily need to stay on the chief track. I've been fired twice. That's one of the reasons I'm kind of passionate about this idea. But, you know, I've noticed in the last 5 or 10 years, we've made great progress in getting women and minorities into administrative positions and chief positions, but they are just as vulnerable to the winds of politics. And we've lost some really good, I think, top executives who were trying to be straight arrows. And, you know, you could accuse them of being DEI hires, but they were quality folks in some major departments, and just couldn't survive the politics. It's a sad state of affairs. I agree with Jeff.
Well, guys, law enforcement deals with it just like everybody else in the world. So moving along, and a good commentary, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Our next main story, Kash Patel vindicated. This is at rvmnews.com as well. MSNBC forced to retract false claim about the FBI director. When you hear who made the false claim, it makes a little bit more sense. But MSNBC's Morning Joe show issued a retraction on Monday after airing an unverified and ultimately false claim by former FBI official Frank Figluzzi. And I guess it's Figluzzi. How do you pronounce that name? Or do you guys, or am I just butchering that name? Or do you guys know how to pronounce it better than I do?
Is he from Tempe?
Is he from Tempe? Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, Chief. But he gave the, you know, he's a former FBI official, which kind of tarnishes this because he's criticizing a new FBI official, Director Kash Patel. So he said, well, anyhow, listen to what we'll get to what he said. But the correction follows 3 days of widespread media repetition. And, you know, our guy, Figluzzi's allegation that Patel was spending more time at nightclubs than actually managing the Bureau of the FBI. Now, the claim made during Friday's broadcast of Morning Joe alleged that Patel, the new FBI director, was more visible at nightclubs, far more than he spent on the 7th floor of the Hoover building, the FBI building. Now, he also, well, his background, he served as assistant director of the FBI's counterintelligence division from 2011 to 2012. So that's what, 1 year. And he now he works where? As an NBC news analyst, but he did not provide any supporting evidence for that statement that he made, you know, slamming Patel. And that's a pretty damaging statement, especially people, you know, like family members I know that watch liberal news. They believe everything that comes out of the word of the mouth of these people. So Glusey also claimed that Patel's daily intelligence briefings have been reduced from daily to maybe twice weekly. Again, citing unnamed sources and offering no documentation to support it. So the remarks quickly circulated digitally across news platforms and social media outlets like the Daily Mail, Daily Beast, and MSN, according to this article, repeated the claims without independent verification. And by Monday morning, MSNBC was forced to walk back the segment. Host Jonathan Lemire acknowledged the network had no evidence to support the statements that had been aired. And it goes on to say at the end of that segment, Figluzzi said that FBI Director Kash Patel had reportedly been more visible at nightclubs than at his office at the FBI headquarters. And that was a misstatement. We have not verified that claim. The segment immediately cut to the commercial after this brief statement. So that's the way that went down. So they had the e-crow a little bit. But I hate to see these misstatements being allowed, but at least they're getting called out. And Kash Patel has been vindicated on this. We'll get to this in 1 second. Our second commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right. Introducing Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers, I was going to say, tens of thousands of times, but now they're up to over 250,000 deployments with absolutely no injuries and no deaths. I mean, it's a crazy stat. And you heard me correctly, no injuries. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplyTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with ComplyTechnologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplyTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplyTechnologies.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, we left off talking about Kash Patel being vindicated after some media sources, you know, picked up an unverified story. And this guy is sharp, and they put up with a lot. So if you guys are ready to move on to our third main topic involving Ivanka Trump, or maybe not, Lieutenant Jeff.
You know, I just have to say one thing. You know, it's unfortunate this day and age, the news cycle is like a 24-hour news cycle. And, you know, Mark Twain saying is, as a lie travels halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. And that's the reality. And that's unfortunately what many of these people in the news try to do is get out false information, knowing it's going to run rampant. And you really, even though there's an official retraction, there is really no retracting that initial misinformation. So, you know, it's unfortunate that's the type of news we have to deal with, but that's reality.
Agreed.
I agree with that, but we also have an administration full of frat boys, so it's not too hard to make those allegations.
Yeah, that's actually Chip. I mean, obviously your lookalike outfit for Kash Patel is pretty good. People are buying it. They're mistaking you for him.
Thanks a lot. I don't know how they take that, but okay. All right, guys. Moving along. I think it's a good time to move along. Here we go. And stick with us. You know, this is our last main topic, and it'll be a quick one, but RVMnews.com again. Man messes around with Ivanka Trump's Secret Service detail, finds out with quickness what a mistake that was. So just real quick, it says a Secret Service agent intervened. I think that we've all agreed that he's probably not a Secret Service agent, probably a private security detail working alongside Secret Service. But he intervened over the weekend, and there's an unidentified guy that attempts to approach Ivanka Trump. And I guess it's her husband, Jared Kushner, as they're exiting an event in South Beach, prompting a forceful response from security. So this was Saturday night. The couple is leaving Carbone Beach. It's a high profile venue that's in Miami. And the first daughter and her husband, they're surrounded by bystanders. They're walking towards a waiting car. There's a guy dressed in tan shorts and a black T-shirt. He's carrying a manila folder, and he's walking beside the couple, but at their pace alongside them and too close for the comfort of security, at least anyhow. So you've got a plainclothes security guy. He's a decent sized black guy. He was conventionally strong. And he tries to separate this guy, this unknown, you know, from Ivanka. He was on Ivanka's side, and the guy brushes past the security guard. And then he tries to approach Ivanka again. And the guy just turns around, faces the guy, and just gives him I call it a check from my training. We called it just a check, but he hits him both hands, stiff arms, and right in the chest. And this guy goes flying backwards out of view of the camera. So I don't know how he landed or if he was in a prone position afterwards or not, but I doubt that he was vertical. I think that he went horizontal after that hit. So this was a good severe hit, so much so that Ivanka turned back as it the thud. It was a loud crack. And it says the Secret Service has not commented publicly on the matter, and they haven't confirmed, you know, who was involved in this thing. And like I said, we already talked prior to the show about who we think it was. But quick commentary on this, guys. We got about 7 minutes before our next commercial break. But you don't screw around with the with security details, much less guys that are the president's daughter's detail. But Chief Schultz.
Well, it was a legitimate threat. You get somebody with that kind of proximity, super threatening. And that file folder bothered me. You know, the Unabomber's explosive devices were typically about that size. So, and then the biochemicals or whatever could be in that. So you don't know what this guy was up to. So that quick reaction and getting him maintaining some distance and putting him off balance, I think was a great move.
Sweet. And Lieutenant Jeff.
Yeah, I suspect there was a lot more to it than what we saw on video. I'm sure that the security, whether it was Secret Service, which I doubt, it's probably private security, but I suspect that they had probably interacted with this individual, at least given him motions to back off prior to what was captured on video. But, you know, it's a pretty effective tool and tactic. He's to be commended. He's doing his job.
You know, we don't often get a spotlight into what goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, we don't really normally think about, you know, Ivanka and Trump's children and Cash Patel's family and all these other, you know, there's a lot of security concerns. And so this is just a little glimpse into something, you know, they're just innocently going to a venue in Miami and then something like this goes down, you know, they got to be on their A game all the time. So I do appreciate the guys that are willing to do this kind of dignitary protection or EP executive protection, as we call it in another industry, you know. So thank you guys so much. Jeff, you ready to move on to the story with the first video component? Broken Arrow?
You bet.
All right. It's not like the movie, but it's called Broken Arrow Police. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look, we're going to be covering a couple of stories here, guys, with video components. If you're listening audibly, your favorite radio station or podcast, please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we'll describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do, look no further than our Rumble channel. Our name of our channel is called Leo Roundtable, like the show. And at 9 o'clock the very next morning, I mean, when we play this live show, it's automatically up there, but we don't include the videos in it. Too many things can go wrong in a live show when you're showing, you know, video at the same time. But the very next morning, 9 o'clock in the morning on the Rumble channel, producer Will, he puts up a copy, a version of this live show after he embeds all the videos we talk about. He'll actually even put pictures up of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we're talking about them. So it's really a great option for you guys if you want to watch it. So Broken Arrow officers justified in the fatal shooting of Samuel Flanagan, who was armed with a machete.
Figure out who's got a machete and what's going on.
My dad.
Does he have it in his hand right now?
Yep.
Okay, who else is in the house?
Mama.
Okay. Get the fuck back. Your dad's got a machete in his hand.
Yeah.
Get the fuck back.
You get the fuck
Step
back.
It up. Stay out here. Just stay out here. Stay out here.
Get the fuck up.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on and trying to help you out.
Let
but
me
when
talk.
You get here,
let me talk. Back okay. the fuck up.
Hey, come out here. Come out here. Get out here.
You cannot go in there.
Get out.
Stop it.
Get out.
You're gonna
Get
fucking
up.
Hurt
Stop
me.
Stop it. They're not gonna
Stop.
Try and hurt
yes,
me.
You.
Please,
let go of me.
You're gonna make me
let
fall.
Let the fuck
Please.
Go of me.
Stop
grab
pulling.
Him.
You're gonna make
fuck
me fall.
Grab
go
him.
Grab him.
Let the fuck go of me. Let me go.
Dad's in the house with
let
the machete.
Let the fuck go
Stop
of me.
It.
Let the fuck go of me.
Stop it.
Let the fuck go. Let the fuck go. I said let go.
Hey, get the fuck back now. Get the fuck back or you're gonna get shot. Get the fuck
get
out!
He's got
your hands off my You're gonna get your dad shot.
Dad.
Get the fuck back.
Get your hands off
Please.
My fucking
Hey,
the fucking
get back inside. We'll
get
talk. Get the fuck back inside and we'll talk.
I have plans today.
You take another step, you're gonna get
Please.
Shot.
Then
you
gonna shoot me,
then
motherfucker.
Don't. Hey, you bitch. Fuck you! Fuck you! Let the fuck
Hold
go!
Back.
Go
Hold back! Hold back!
Let the fuck go, of me, nigga! Let the fuck go, of me! Let the fuck go, of me!
Get on the ground!
Fuck you!
We have two harrowing stories here, assuming we have time to cover them. On November the 29th, a Broken Arrow Police Department, they respond to a 911 call to a home. A family member reported they needed assistance for a medical, but a mental incident, and that was the statement that was the department released in the briefing. So they reported an escalating mental health crisis involving a 46-year-old guy named Samuel Flanagan. He was armed with a machete, and he was also threatening self-harm at the residence. So when the officers get there, the situation, it just goes downhill really quickly. And involving these things, I mean, it's so typical, right? So it deteriorates. And so Officer Danny James, he's there. He's wearing a body-worn camera. There's multiple people at the residence, but they're on the outside, including two juveniles who are like uncooperative and making his life really difficult. And they're outside and near the home. So he's not getting a lot of cooperation from the juveniles. And this particular one keeps trying to interfere with him, getting in front of the doorway, trying to go in the house. He's trying to pull the kid back because the kid doesn't know what's going on. The cop's just trying to do his job. So he's being distracted by all these other entities there that are there. During the encounter, Flanagan, our bad guy, emerges from the house within 5 feet of James, the cop. While this is going on, We got two cops that are going 10, 15, basically. We got the two juveniles. Well, actually, a juvenile and his mother came. It looked like his mother or an adult female that came out of the house. So the cops are rushing around with these guys in the front yard. And then our bad guy shows up, you know, with a machete in the doorway. And he's got a machete in one hand. He's got a meat cleaver in the other hand. He's making threats and disregarding repeated commands, you know, from the officer. So he advances within 8 feet of two officers wrestling with the family members. And they're on the ground. He places the officers and the family members in immediate danger, according to the article. And our officer ends up firing one shot. He strikes Flanagan in the chest. And I will say that before he fires shot, there's the kid, the same kid the officer had been wrestling around with, goes up to approach the father. Cop grabs him by the t-shirt, pulls him backwards, and the kid just, you know, he goes horizontal, lands on the ground. Cop likely saved his life because he could have got hit by the cop's bullet or by the machete that the old man had. A toxicology report revealed that the presence of methamphetamine in our bad guy Flanagan's system, and of course he later died from the single gunshot wound. So it was one of the rarities where the cops had a really, really good shot on this. Commentary on this, guys, we have a little over 2 minutes before we take our first commercial break, but Lieutenant Jeff, you break down a lot of these uses of force, and it was quite the chaotic scene. And again, another spotlight into the window of what we kind of have to do to deal with when we're on the scene. And it's not always nice and calm and collected.
Yeah, you appeared to have bad actors on a number of different levels. You had the father who was armed, and that's why the officers were there to begin with. But when dealing with the family members, they obviously had animosity against the police. And they escalated the situation. And really, when I was watching it, Chip, what perhaps could have resulted in a better outcome would have been the ability to take these juveniles into custody quicker than they did. Yeah. And what would have done that? The glove.
Oh,
think about
point.
It. 2 to 3 seconds. So they're non-compliant, non-compliant. You activate that thing, boom, you have them cuffed, put them in the back seat of the car, and they can do whatever they want back there. You have them contained. It's all about containing and controlling the environment. And once you deal with that, then you can deal with the guy who's armed with the machetes. But, you know, I felt for the officers with the tools that they had. I mean, it was very chaotic. And everything escalated, not as a result of what the officers were doing. It was just a consequence of how all the bad actors were conducting themselves.
Yeah, good point. And guys, we are, you know, it's amazing, Chief. Jeff timed it perfectly so that you just don't have any time to talk before the commercial break. So I apologize, but I will give you plenty of air time after we come back from our third commercial break. So guys, yes. It's commercial break time. We'll be right back. Stick with us. See you in a second. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. As law enforcement officers, we deal with guns and we deal with the ammunition every day. It's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Chief, I promised you before the break I was going to give you plenty of airtime to cover this story. We just covered the story about where a cop shows up. It's a chaotic scene. We got a bad guy in the house with a machete in one hand, a meat cleaver in the other, but he's still in the house. And of course, we got juveniles that are uncooperative with the officer. And then we got an adult female that comes out of the house. And they're just trying to get these kids and the female out and away so they can protect them and focus on the bad guy. And then they end up, you know, fighting with the family members in the driveway and trying to, you know, get them detained and handcuffed. And Jeff brought up a good note about it. The glove would have been from Compliant Technologies, would have been great to have had. They could have got these people handcuffed in a fraction, just in seconds. But instead, they have to leave these guys. And when the bad guy comes out the door, and now you've got the civilians that aren't handcuffed because they didn't have enough time, they're interacting again and making it even more dangerous. And they shoot the guy one time in the chest, or bad guy goes down, he ends up dying. But what'd you think about this, Chief? I don't know if you have any flashbacks from watching the video. Hopefully not, but...
Well, first of all, don't blame Jeff for cutting me out of the conversation. I can have a conversation with nobody else in the room. That's not a problem. a couple of things. We've seen a lot of these scenarios, particularly I really love the departments that put this stuff out and say, this is what happened. This is your timeline. Let's zoom in and those kind of things. So that's great. But I have heard so much good dispatching in some of these calls. So, you know, we need to remember how critical and valuable those comm officers are. Secondly, man, a lot of knife scenarios lately. You notice that? It's not a big killer of police officers statistically, man, we're just seeing a lot of that. And we got
two in a row with meat cleavers of all things.
Right. And I just wonder. You know, I've been through some knife disarming technique training, which if you don't do that every day, don't do it. I know how to get somebody separated from a edged weapon, and that's when they fall over from bullet wounds. one of the cops that had one of the kids down before the shooting takes place, he says, "You're going to get your dad shot." And that's exactly right. Those kids got their dad shot. If those three people had cooperated and then left the bad guy in the house, which if you saw the hallway shots in the video, he'd torn up the drywall in the house. And he could have been isolated in the house. That, you know, could spend another 24 hours letting that guy de-escalate with the potential victims outside. So, man, like father, like sons, he really trained his kids well.
Wow. You know, the truth hurts sometimes. I got the impression from at the beginning of the video, the kid realizing that he told the cop that his dad was armed with a machete and stuff, that he had changed his mind about wanting police interaction. And you know, just a little warning to people, not necessarily warning, but just a realization that when you call law enforcement for a mental health issue or something like this, you're going to get a law enforcement response. Don't expect anything different. But you're absolutely right. The family made this arguably unmanageable, and unless they had the glove, but it really created some complications on this. The cop had his hands full, just watching him, just his interactions with that one particular juvenile that he put his hands on at least four or five times, but didn't have time to handcuff him before the encounter with the dad, unfortunately. It's just a sad situation.
I think it's a reminder, and all cops know this, particularly in domestic kind of scenarios. You don't always know who your advocates are, and you'd think that the person that called on the other person would be on your side. And oh, thank God the cops are here. Not necessarily. You could be resting the bad guy, and one of the witnesses' victims could be on your back. So it's really scary.
Yeah. How often have I grabbed the bad guy and had the wife or the girlfriend on my back with a knife or whatever, trying to stab me because I'm trying to take him into custody, and I'm there to protect her from him. That's why I came. So it's scary stuff. If you guys, we got 5 minutes. I think we got enough time to cover this next one. I'm certainly hoping so. So if you guys are game for it, let's jump over to NYPD. And at rumble.com, we're still on our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. NYPD officers, they shoot a guy in Brooklyn after four children are attacked with a meat cleaver.
Store. Down here. It's connected?
Yeah, it's good.
Is this your family?
Yeah. It goes straight down here.
Where is it?
There you go.
Put it down! 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 Drop it! 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 Drop it!
This is ridiculous. I can't even believe it. So let me go through this quickly because I know we're going to want to talk about this. A man suspected of stabbing four children with a meat cleaver, shot and wounded, not killed, by NYPD. And this happened on Sunday in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. So four girls between the ages of 8 and 16 ended up being hospitalized with serious stab wounds after officers found them inside of an apartment. They're all expected to survive, thank God. The suspect has been identified as a 49-year-old named Longquin Chen, and he was hospitalized in critical condition. Family members told police that Chen had a history of mental illness. An 11-year-old girl ended up calling 911 just after 10 o'clock in the morning. She said that her uncle was stabbing her and her siblings. Now, NYPD was involved, of course. The girl, she did not know her address, but they used 911 technology in order to track down the location. Officers get at the home. An uninjured child led them inside this building. And at that point, you can actually hear on the body cam, officers hear screaming coming from behind the door. And it says they immediately forced their way into the apartment. It took a little bit of time to kick in that door, but they finally got it open. And they encountered this guy. He's standing near the entrance. He's holding a large meat cleaver covered in blood, right? So the officers, they ordered this guy to drop the meat cleaver. He refuses. And then he ends up moving towards them. They've even got, it's kind of hard to pick up because you've got a narrow field of view and it's dark. And the guy is inside the doorway, but coming toward, but you can actually, in the slow motion, you can clearly see this guy making a run for the cops. Two officers discharge the firearms, fire 7 rounds, and they strike him, and they end the threat. Now, George Jamara, he's like a neighbor. He's looking out his front window, and he can hear, he decides to take cell phone video of the kids that are all bloodied coming out of the house. So this is where our society's at. Instead of getting involved or helping the kids out, they're just going to sit back with a cell phone camera and film this thing. But police end up praising the quick actions of the 11-year-old girl and a little boy. You know, she called 911 and she saved the family. Unbelievable. Guys, we got a little over 2.5 minutes. Curious what you guys think about that. This is another meat cleaver story, but thank God we have a happy ending. So commentary, gentlemen. Chief, you want to start us off on this one?
Gosh, knives scare me. Thanks for the white shirt guy. You know, it's love. It's great to see an animal, getting in there and getting in the action.
I think he might pull the trigger first.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just curious, Jeff, in LA, what's the squad level availability of a breaching tool? I don't think they had time. I think they were right in using their Gall's master key footwear to get the door broken down. Is there something that's part of SOP with LAPD to get a door open really quickly that's available to, within 3 or 4 cars?
Well, with the LAPD, like when I ran the Rampart gang unit, we had them in our vehicles in the trunk. So you would just have someone go out and get them.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah. Because we'd often, we served a heck of a lot of warrants. So, I mean, we were equipped with all that stuff, and our vehicles were, the benefit that we had was the vehicles were assigned to us. Although we didn't take them home, you would park them and there wasn't anybody else using that vehicle when you were off hours. But, what I saw was that it was a little embarrassing for the police officers, but it was an FDNY guy that was kicking the door and actually got it to open, not the police department, which I thought was interesting because, LA Fire Department, they're not going to be anywhere near something until it's been neutralized, until you give a code 4 and then they can come in. So that was a little different. And I have a little different take on the guy with the white shirt. He's a supervisor. And that's
should have been supervising.
Should have been supervising. Yeah, there was a lot of information that was coming and they weren't sure which location that they were dealing with. And you needed somebody to be triaging that information and giving direction. So I would have liked to have seen that. But the shooting was absolutely a good shooting.
You got to remember that about half of the New York Fire Department is ex-New York cops. And so they probably are more likely to hop in on something like that.
They have a pretty good rivalry going back and forth too. Guys, great commentary, great show. Thank you guys so much for being on. Appreciate it. The 2 bells giveaway. Type in the number 2, and the letter B for bell to enter that contest. Thank you guys so much, LeoRoundtable.com. And guys, we are we're going to go and take it to the end of the top of the hour and stuff. But another great program. Shout out to Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, and Medicare.life, SafewayRecruiting, and 2Bells.com. And so we will look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.